Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Monday, the 27th of June. First up, Disney comes crawling back to Johnny Depp and makes massive Pirates of the Caribbean offer.
Disney has begun the apology process to JD and is looking to bring him back into the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise with a monstrous payday. Over $300 million is on the table. Now, it's a rumor, but it also is being reported by, like, the, you know, it's not like on those fringe rumor sites where you usually see a lot of this stuff. It's on many bigger websites now. This could be Disney floating this out there from a PR perspective to see, like, okay, how are people going to react to this? Are people going to boycott? They're not going to. It's going to be overwhelmingly positive in response. We know this, but a lot of times these type of things get floated out there. It's certainly being covered, you know, everywhere. Johnny Depp could reprise Captain Jack Pirates role with $301 million deal. JD is set to return to Pirates of the Caribbean, and it is in talks with Disney about a $300 million payday after crushing AH. He was the major lead in 5 Pirates movies over the past 15 years and made what was thought to be his final voyage on the Black Pearl in Dead Men Tell No Tales, which was released back in 2017. But a source told Pop Topic that the actor, 59, has been in talks with Disney about a $300 million deal after winning his defamation suit. Now, that would be awfully quick. I mean, that would be like, verdict comes in, they already have the money figured out, everything figured out, and they're like offering it to him immediately. It's possible, though. It's entirely possible that Disney was waiting to see if he was going to win it or not before deciding if they were going to bring him back. Now, the interesting thing is, the Pirates franchise is beloved. It's looked upon kind of fondly, I think, by the people that saw them or watched them. But it needs help. It definitely needs to be reinvigorated. I don't know if it's like that we just need to have, more interesting directors or writing or whatever it is. But there certainly has been some levels of diminishing returns with the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So, you know, do I think that replacing him with Margot Robbie is going to reverse that? No, it will only accelerate it. Because if people are already not like loving the Pirates movies as much as they once did, they're certainly not going to go out of the way to see one without Captain Jack Sparrow. That was a reality that Disney was trying to float that made absolutely no sense to me. Now the insider revealed that Disney is indeed interested in patching up the relationship with him, and they have reached out to him. They said they reached out to the actor prior to his trial against her and asked whether he would be interested in returning for another film or two. The source added that another project is in the works for Disney Plus. They said the deal is reportedly for JD to return as Jack Sparrow in the Pirates of the Caribbean 6 and a spin-off Disney Plus series about the early life of Captain Jack, or the Captain of the Black Pearl. It continued. I don't know if they can make him look younger. I don't know. They'd have to have somebody younger playing him. I don't know how that would work. But anyway, they continued. What I can tell you is that the studio has already penned up a draft for a film about Jack Sparrow that they are very hopeful that Johnny will forgive them and return as the iconic character. The source also said the media house is working on a $301 million deal to coax him back and are reportedly adding a sizable donation to the charity of his choice as a gesture of goodwill. You know, I was talking to a viewer last night on Twitter, and they just happened to be like, hey, what charities do you like? I was like, Toys for Tots. And then he just replied like 30 seconds later after donating $1,000 to Toys for Tots. I guess like I just wanted to shout that guy out because it was really, following me on Twitter, you saw that I posted about it. But anyway, the Edward Scissorhands star previously told the jury that he would not work with Disney again after he was scrubbed from the 6th Pirates movie. His legal teams claim that he lost out on a $22 million payday after she published her Washington Post op-ed that didn't quite identify him, but clearly branded him as something very, very bad. JD said that he felt as if he was guilty until proven innocent with Disney executives, and he was. I mean, there's literally no denying that. I mean, there's never going to be like an email or a memo that leaks that kind of is, it got somebody inside of Disney saying like, we must separate this because of this and that, because they're smarter than that. But it was no, you know, to anybody who was watching, it was obvious that he was getting, you know, he was found guilty before he ever even had his day in court. Now, original Pirate scriptwriter Stuart Beatty was the first to publicly confirm that the studios were ditching the star in 2018 as they reworked the entire franchise. Speaking exclusively to Daily Mail TV at the red carpet event in Hollywood, he confirmed on camera that the reboot meant that JD was out as Jack Sparrow. Nodding when it was suggested that he was out, he said, "I think he's had a great run. Obviously, he's made the character his own and becomes, and it's become the character he's most famous for now." Yeah, that's probably true, I guess. And kids all over the world love him as a character, so I think it's been great for him. It's been great for us. I'm just very, very happy about it. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, if social media is any indication, there are clearly loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of people willing and able to pay to see him in another Pirates of the Caribbean film. Now, I'm not interested in seeing him like in a pass the torch kind of thing, unless he publicly came out and was like, I'm happy, you know, bygones are bygones and they paid me a boatload of money. But I don't know. I mean, you see a lot of people, these are all kind of citing the same source. But you see a source close to Disney dropped the information in a new interview with Pop Topic. Now, this looks more like a rumor site. So, you know, you're not going to see anything about this, you know, publicly. I can't imagine. Now, I don't know. This is Disney is desperate for JD, according to Industry Insider. The company is preparing a $301 million deal as a formal apology and a request for the beloved actor to return as him. Now, a $301 million deal is enormous. So the number is suspect to me. Because even if he gets paid, you know, $30 million a movie, that's 10 Pirates of the Caribbean movies. They're not going to offer a 10 movie package. What are they going to offer? Let's say he's getting paid $50 million. That's still six of them. So I don't know where the $300 million really comes from, because it seems like an enormous amount of money. Now, a lot of actors, especially of his caliber, will get back-end deals where they'll get like a percentage of revenue up to a certain amount. We saw this with Scarlett Johansson publicly having like escalators in her contract. I think it was like $20 million based on theater money that she didn't hit because they released it on Disney Plus, blah, blah, blah. So maybe that's how they kind of get to it. Quote, "I know corporate sent him a gift basket with a very heartfelt letter, but I'm unsure how it was received. But what I can tell you is the studio has already penned up a draft for a film about Jack Sparrow. So they're very hopeful that he will forgive them and return as the iconic character," the insider alleged. Now, right on the heels of, for example, Lightyear, it looks like Lightyear may actually lose money at the box office. This was a $200 million budgeted film, which means $400 million to break even. That's the industry standard anywhere. And, you know, at the box office, it's been terrible. Like, it's just been terrible. You see this article in the New York Post just about Lightyear. Lightyear flop is a sign audiences are weary of Hollywood wokeness. Today's Hollywood message is, let us entertain you, but first, a brief lecture on what's wrong with you, the audience. Artisan entertainment corporations have always been desperate to be taken seriously, hence their need to manufacture responsibility via awards given out by highfalutin, august-sounding institutions like the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Sciences? You guys are creating pretty pictures, not curing cancer. I mean, you know, you see, Disney is going to really be probably desperate for some wins. Their stock is worth half of what it was a year ago. So all these things could add up to Disney wanting to make a steep investment on JD to try and bring them back. $300 million, unless that includes all the potential incentives, that seems enormous for one or two movies. So that actually makes it suspect to me. But if the apology has been floated out there, I don't think there's a lot of things that $30 million cash couldn't make somebody get over it, right? Like, there's no way JD stays mad. If they're legitimately offering him $30 to $50 million to star in a movie, there's no way he's saying no. There's just none. So if that part is true, then he'll be back for sure.
And next up today, man convinces Twitter he's a Supreme Court judge and something amazing happens.
The mad lad actually did it. He convinced tens of thousands of people, that he was indeed a Supreme Court justice in probably one of the most epic trolls to ever hit the internet. I'm proud to call this man my friend. It started with a single tweet, and here it is. President Biden announced, obviously we know everything with Roe v. Wade last week. It's not really what this is about. This is about how stupid people are. In particular, people on the left in this case, although maybe there were people on the right too. I don't know. I suppose everyone liking and quote tweeting it maybe thought, I mean, how stupid can you be? Today's a very solemn moment in the United States, blah, 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 blah. To which, at the time, it was Justice Dankula. We were careful in our decision, Mr. President. 31,000 likes. And from there, and if y'all would have been more careful, you wouldn't have needed to do this, right? If we just look at the quote tweets, there are people that know now the level of stupid is far too high. Many even thought this guy was a real judge. Just the way it's wild how many people saw this and didn't think for a second, Supreme Court Justice Dankula? Not sure that's a real guy. The amount of salt and threats that were sent to him. You know, if in case anyone wants an idea of how stupid the average American voter is, just look at the replies to this and the people who think he's being serious. You have Lisa Katera, a verified person for whatever reason, having a melty, you weren't, yes you were, who asked, I don't think you did though, but we did. I swear you could show these people the process of attaching bait to a hook, lowering it into the water, and they'd still throw themselves in for a bite. I think these people. Kat Brown, another verified journalist. A journalist. You're defending the babies? What about the children and adults they become? It's sad that this is who makes decisions for all women. The replies under this post are the best arguments against democracy. This is just this is nothing. We, of course, have Marcus Dankula Wikipedia page. I think this is just a Photoshop that came up. Some of the DMs he was getting. Weird how he stopped replying after he Googled, hey, you should effing off yourself or someone will do it for you. That's a promise. There's worse things than passing away. What state do you live in? I'll just look for myself. And they stopped replying. This person, we already know that you're not going to survive. You're going to end life as a virgin, Dankula. No need to flaunt it, pig. Okay. These people are so upset, so enraged that the bait was so incredibly obvious in every conceivable way. This isn't even him. But this was his profile picture at the time. I don't know if somebody like aged him up or something like that, and it's like something, but it is just thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who agree, and yet you're making decisions regarding women's bodies and lives. You don't get to choose what we do with our bodies. Literally, what? And then every one of these, oh boy, should we tell her? No, this is too much fun. The absolute cheek of this. After a year and change your side, telling us that we have no choice but to get the poke. This is, of course, like the same thing as watching a lot of the melties that happened from people who, when Alex Stein was out there saying like, oh, do you believe in my body, my choice? Well, of course. Okay, well, what about poke mandates? People are so dumb that all these people were Googling him. Obviously, it had never existed before, but this many, you know, like, with Google trends, it doesn't actually show you volume, but it shows overall interest. And it's like people over several days, people had to actually check. And then we get to the stuff that's a little less funny, but I thought really revealing of who these people are. So of course, whenever he does this, he opens his DMs for the lunatics to slide into, and he has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these type of messages. You're an effing idiot. Why? Please, you effing disgusting R word. Your wife will leave you. Soon karma will come. Reply to this DM, you soft F boy. I'll DM you every day. I hope while you're sleeping, your wife removes your junk. She probably will. You're a fraud and karma will catch up to you. Who writes like this? Like, I genuinely don't know. So when I see this stuff, and we're going to look at a couple more of this just super revealing from the party of tolerance. Are these like children who are writing this? Because it's always the same. It's always riddled with terrible spelling errors and just at 11 out of 10. Hey, sweetheart, hate to break the news to you, but overturning Roe v. Wade is completely unconstitutional. It probably wouldn't be a good idea to speak about God and the Bible with something that involves a law due to separation of church and state. You have no idea what you're doing. Have fun complaining about riots that you caused, since that's literally all you conservatives do. I just got baited, didn't I? Go die, get your teeth fixed, that should be your priority. You deserve to be publicly removed from this planet in front of your family. F you. All, I mean, like, these are the tolerant left. You need to get your potbelly rear end out of the Supreme Court. Peter Griffin looking as MF. Shut your Porky the Pig head. It's like, are these bots? Who talks like this? Like, kids wouldn't even know what Porky the Pig is, right? Of course, my video guy made a banner for Dank. My editor, Steven. This is, again, he points out, and this is to 60,000 likes. These people's vote counts as much as yours. Okay, are you ready for this? They quote tweeted Justice Dankula writing, I hereby declare the itty-bitty committee a terrible organization, right? Then they quote tweet that the fact that this man is on the Supreme Court of the United States and tweeting things like this, unprofessional, comical, this man is the reason women will pass away. What? You see, most of the claims are coming from Korea Boo accounts. I don't know what that means. Dank will probably tell me, and it probably has something to do with I don't want to know about. And just like, cut yourself, go deep. You think you're funny on Twitter, but I hope you don't survive. You need to have your like, what is going on? You smell like grease. I know it. I never fat shame people, but you aren't people. You are an animal. He replies, D, you might want to stop hitting them keys and hitting a treadmill and hit a treadmill instead. Take that advice yourself, piggy. Again, the pig stuff. There's something like who somebody who is more like data-driven than me could probably figure out, you know, like these people are like real, but why do they talk like this? They're not English speakers, are they? I look 10 times better than you. You look 10 times bigger than me. Dang, you must be blind, idiot. Even if I was, I could still see all that. And like, here's a Jesus. You should have been. I just can't even like. I hope your family like threats against his family. Here's a bundle of sticks word. Like, I don't just like way. I'm gonna do something terrible to your wife. Like, what? Like, these people are clearly totally stable. He calls him the bundle of stick words and then goes on to call him homophobic. It's like, what? I just want to congratulate Count Dankula. And you know what? I'm gonna link his channel in the pinned comment below. His content is very, very, very good and definitely worth watching. He has a Mad Lad series, obviously. If you watch me, you probably know who he is. We also do a podcast together that we don't tell anybody about called The Incredible Salt Mine. We've been doing it for like 3 years and we've managed to not grow it at all, which is kind of becoming a meme. But yeah, go sub to Count Dankula if you enjoyed, and you can read his feed still and mine all that delicious salt.
And next up, humiliating woke meltdown from Pokimane, Samuel L. Jackson, and Green Day singer Billie Joe Armstrong.
It's always interesting to see, you know, just how people react when they don't get their way. It's very revealing. I think, regardless of where you are on like the political spectrum, it's safe to say that you were either really happy in 2016 and really unhappy in 2020, or vice versa, right? At least not everybody, but you know, that would probably include 80% of people here in the United States. One side rioted for months. The other side did have that little incident, but for the most part, there are petulant people on both sides, I guess, is what I'll say. You know, people gathering in the streets over the weekend, totally fine. Free, you know, blocking highways is illegal. I think that's stupid. But like, other than that, you have a right to assemble. You have a right to be upset about the certain political decisions. But I do think it's interesting that we continue to see the tolerant left now basically just being outright openly racist against Clarence Thomas, who is a Supreme Court judge and one of many that voted on this. But for whatever reason, the left is aiming their vitriol at him, and you know, using well, the N-word all the time. You can see, you know, here's from Free Black Thought. Rule of thumb: if saying it about MLK would be out of line, then saying it about Clarence Thomas is also out of line. You may think Justice Thomas is regressive, even evil. It doesn't justify responding in the way that is regressive, even evil. And you can see, you know, loads of people just calling him the N-word, Clarence Thomas's N-word, Uncle Tom, a lot of white people. They're all white people saying this. N-word calls him a coon. There are thousands of these, you know. Twitter, of course, we saw how this shook out. Twitter was happy to trend Uncle Clarence or whatever. Why? Because Samuel L. Jackson called him that. In fact, you see, actor Samuel L. Jackson took a race-based critique at U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and rocker Billie Joe Armstrong says he's renouncing his U.S. citizenship. Good. Jackson called the conservative justice who wrote the concurring opinion that overturning the landmark Roe v. Wade stuff, Uncle Clarence, in a reference to the complaint, of course, from Uncle Tom. How's Uncle Clarence feeling about overturning Loving v. Virginia? I believe that was the interracial one, right? The landmark 1967 Loving ruling declared that state bans on interracial marriage were unconstitutional. Thomas, the court's only black justice, is married to a white woman. In his concurring opinion Friday, the 74-year-old judge called for his colleagues to reconsider and potentially overturn other cases that decided on legal theory instead of substantive due process, including rulings that protect things like gay marriage and access to birth control. I don't have any problem with, this is where it tests, like, a lot of my, you know, maybe more, like, conservative viewers would see this as a win. I don't really have any issue whatsoever with gay marriage at all. And so I would not really support. Now, again, if they just kicked it back to the states and the states decided, okay, that's fine. Now, substantive due process refers to the notion that people have fundamental rights that aren't specifically established in the Constitution. The justice was referring to 1965 ruling, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it's fine as long as, you know, they're a Republican or a conservative. I mean, then you can be racist. Then you have this lunatic. Actually, it looks like quite a few people at the show. I mean, it is a music festival, but they're all there to see Green Day. So I guess good on Green Day, I suppose. F America. Green Day star Billy Joe Armstrong says he's renouncing his United States citizenship during a London concert. Wow. I wonder, remember after Trump won the election and like the move to Canada or the Canadian citizenship website or whatever it was crashed because there were so many people having melties about the election. Look, I am not happy. I think it's, you'd see very clearly, I am not happy that Joe Biden won. I think Joe Biden is a horrible president. It was so painfully obvious during the election process, and people still voted for him just because they wanted to get rid of Trump. And you could make the argument that Trump also received a lot of votes from people who were just like anybody but Hillary. And that is true, but it feels like the Joe one was even on another level, because like everyone could see that Joe Biden is like an actual moron, and he still won. And now he's just like, he's like goofing and gaffing his way as this country turns, goes into the tank economically. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, when he won, I didn't like go storming any buildings. I didn't record any crying TikToks. I think about, okay, well, probably do better next time. You know, that's how like normal people react. These people are unhinged. Green Day star Billy Joe Armstrong proclaimed F America and claimed that he's renouncing his citizenship in the wake of the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Armstrong, who is 50, made the declaration during a Friday night concert, telling the audience, "There's too much stupid in the world. I'm going to move to the UK." I mean, I think that there are things that happen, you know, in elections, democratic elections, that everybody is not like, there isn't one person out there in existence that's always been happy with everything that's ever happened in this country. But you get up, you dust yourself off, and you you go at it again. You know, I think these type of, I'm gonna move to here's Pokimane, zillionaire, going back to Canada.
Yes, the Rovers, we've said it all. It's depressing. Get back to Canada.
I booked a ticket back to Canada. It looks like you're living in a storage unit. And you're like a multi-millionaire. And people, you could see Count Dankula, "Change it back, bruv. What will the U.S. do now that they've lost Pokimane?" Oh no. Anyway, I mean, like, list of people who asked. I mean, there are a lot of, there are plenty of people in there, just dunking, on Pokimane and all these other influencers who are saying, "Oh, I'm going to move out of this country." No, you're not. Not going to do it. Now, in her case, she's already made all her money, so she might. seems unlikely because her path to make even more money is in LA or California or Texas, where all these streamers are located. My life will forever be ruined now that Pokimane is leaving for Canada. I tweeted about it. It's just so tough. I retweeted a couple of things about it. I mean, everybody's just dunking on her. Nobody cares. These are like the dumbest things. Like, look, I get it. By the way, Green, you know, Billy Joel should look up, you know, the laws in the UK. They aren't exactly, you know, super easy. Now, I'm sure he didn't bother to do any of that research, but moving, you know, having him move to the UK, good. You know, good. Go ahead. You know, be go move to the UK, Billy Joe Armstrong. All these, it's like when Rage Against the Machine becomes the Machine. These people are all, once these musicians and Hollywood people get money, they all the same. Like they're all the same. Go ahead and revoke. Go ahead and move. You know, these people don't actually care. Rage Against the Machine is fine charging $600 a seat to go see them live. But yeah, the capitalism is bad. Sorry, guys. Buy our merch. Capitalism bad, though. Capitalism bad. I renounce capitalism, but our tickets to our concert are $600 for nosebleeds. The amount of copium and full-blown melty that we're seeing is pretty historic. I've had a good time watching it. Now, it is, you know, it is kind of a serious subject, you know. It's a divisive one. There's a lot of emotional things said, but it's always the people with the most that are always out there saying, oh, I'm gonna move to Canada. I'm gonna do... No, you're not. You're not going to. You're gonna stay here because this country is pretty good. You know, like, it's pretty good. Go to Canada and see how you like it there. I suppose if you're a big fan of removing people's, you know, if you don't like the removal of people's rights, I don't know why you'd be moving to Canada. They love doing that. You know, it's, every country has its problems, but ultimately these meltdowns are pointless, petulant, and feckless because they're not going to do a dang thing.
And next up, 29-year-old biological man destroys 13-year-old female in skateboard competition.
You know, when I was young, I remember competing in a Magic the Gathering tournament when I was probably like 13, maybe 14. And I made it all the way to the final round. And the guy I was playing had like, this made mean nothing to a lot of people, but he had all the most powerful cards in the game at the time. His deck that he was playing with was like probably by today's standards worth $100,000. I remember he had Gauntlet of Might, he had Mox Rubies, he had all sorts of stuff. Absolutely destroyed me. Okay. After he did, he gave me the first place prize money and took the second place prize money. I've never forgot that. You know, this was a grown man who, you know, now I understand had, you know, tons more money than me. He just liked the game. I was just a kid. And the difference between, you know, getting $50 in store credit, I think it was $100 in store credit, meant I got to buy a whole box, a booster box of Magic cards back in the day. And it was like, I remember that. I don't have a lot of memories from my youth. I don't know the way my brain works. I don't have good long-term memory. But I remember that. Now, let's place that against 29-year-old biological man destroys a 13-year-old female in females-only skateboarding competition. The 29 or 39-year-old man, sorry, 29-year-old man, biological man, sorry, was competing against the average age of these kids were like 15. Why? Because progress. Now, trans woman destroys 13-year-old female in NYC's women's skateboarding contest. Four of the six finalists were under the age of 17. At 29, Tress was the oldest contestant by a long shot. To be honest, if you're 29 and outskating people over a decade younger, then those kids weren't very good skaters. This is like a 30-year-old gymnast winning over a 15-year-old, no problem here. Sure says, well, I don't know. It's just people taking advantage. That's what it is. Like, come on. 29-year-old biological male takes first place in women's skateboarding competition against a 13-year-old. On Saturday, a biological male took first place on the field of female competitors, including a 13-year-old who placed second to win a skateboarding competition in New York City. The 29-year-old Richie Tress placed first in the Border Open women's finals, taking home $500 in prize money. Now, who do you think that $500 meant more to? A 13-year-old who could get a brand new skateboard or a 30-year-old? Second place finisher, Shiloh Katori, took home $250. Third place finisher, 16-year-old Jordan Pascal, took home $150, while the remaining three finishers each took home $100 each. Look, I'd be happy to give Shiloh the make up the $250. I'd happy to send it to her. So if her parents want to contact me, like, I'll send it. I'm sure they don't want to get mixed up in all this because these kids just want a skateboard. According to Redux, Tress became the first biological male to attempt to qualify for women's skateboarding in the Olympics. Tress submitted a virtual run-in for the U.S. National Skateboarding Championships, but was unable to meet the deadline for their hormone level testing. Later, their testosterone levels were deemed, quote, to be much higher than levels required to compete in the women's division. Shocking. In an interview with U.S. Skateboarding around this time, Tress revealed that the athlete was about 190 units over the required levels for International Olympic Committee standards. During the interview, Tress expressed ambivalence toward reducing his testosterone levels and even stated that he was comfortable where he was at in his transition. On Twitter, fellow skateboarder Taylor Silverman posted the competition's results, stating, quote, male wins skateboarding finals and money at Border Open NYC presented by DC Today. And you see this picture, and this is what really puts it into perspective. This is the winner, 29-year-old biological male, second place, a 13-year-old, 16. Here's a 28. So this, you know, Chrissy Brown, no spring chicken, but good on her for skateboarding. And she's a female and has every right to compete in this. You know, but why are they competing against someone who's 10 years old and 12 in the sixth place? Like, why would you ever, first of all, why isn't there an age group? Seems like that would be basic, right? But then also, like, come on. This is not like a human rights thing. It's just ridiculous to think that there aren't massive biological advantages for male skateboard, a male biological male skateboard against biological females. It's just true. You have, like, you know, their center of gravity, their muscle mass, you know, all these type of things go into skateboarding is physical. But you see Tom Daley furious at the ban from swimming and diving competitions. You see all these people. Tom Daley says he's furious at the decision to ban biological men who have gone through male puberty from elite female swimming. Why can't we just all agree that there are biological... Look, I don't have... You know, like, again, my position is and will always be live your best life. Have fun. But, like, when you're competing in a division specifically carved out because of those biological differences, can we just agree that, sorry, like, you can compete, you can still be a trans, you can be a trans man and compete against biological men. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It makes far more sense than you competing against women. The only reason you compete against women makes sense is for the optics. You're on a far more level playing field against the men. And isn't it curious that, you know, it's always somebody who is ranked 7,000th in the world and suddenly they're number one? Like, it's sick. And you're taking these spots from young kids who works so hard to, you know, achieve that position. Like, what do you think this little girl is gonna think, like, when she goes home? Like, why didn't I worked hard. I worked as hard as I could. I competed the best I could. And this grown man, biological man, crushed me, and I had no chance. What is the lesson there exactly? What good is that for a young kid to learn? What? That life is ridiculous, and at the risk of possibly offending three people on Twitter, you had to take the L today and miss out on opportunities, maybe for sponsorships or for maybe winning this event is a qualifier, and now you can't go in on to the next event. There's a whole slew of things that this could have. And again, I don't think there's any issue whatsoever. Like, be trans, that's cool. Like, I've always said, you live your life as long as you're not infringing on other people's rights. But you are infringing on other people when you go into a division where you have a clear biological advantage and people are too afraid to say anything about it, and taking money away and taking positions away from biological females. Like, what happened? Like, we need to protect women's sports. This is actually insane. And like, what I think is, this is actually a good thing. The more times this happens, like, you know, the amount of like people, well, in skateboarding, the younger and smaller ones have an advantage. That's actually not true. That's not true. The more experience you have, the more reps you have skating gives you more advantage. And being young generally means you're going to have fewer chances. Also, when you get older, you know, you have built muscle. You've built muscle memory. You've done all these type of things. Like, it's absurd to pretend like there aren't massive advantages for this biological male competing against biological females. And anything else is just tell me you're afraid of offending people without saying it. Because the more times this happens, the better, by the way. Because it's only this that will get people to actually say, like, okay, wait a minute here. Like, good, live your best life, Richie Tress. Like, good on you, 100%. Okay, but like, sorry, you can't take money away from young girls who want to just skateboard. Just sorry, that's not a human right. Go compete against the men. That makes far more sense biologically, and enjoy being ranked 7,000th instead of coming in and like, I imagine how this would feel so weird, like. Imagine walking into a room and you see all these like kids. You just know you're gonna crush them all. Like, it's weird. Very weird.
And next up, Diablo Immortal banned as new secret Mega Whale tier leaks demanding over $500,000 to complete game.
And I've been tracking along the Diablo Immortal news cycle, and you know, my position remains that the game is able to be enjoyed without putting any money into it. To like min-max or get to the end game, or to, you know, really get into PvP and stuff like that, that's when things get a little dicey, and money, unfortunately, seems to accelerate things, including a new report that the amount of money you need to spend to max your character out now is $540,000. Now, there's a great video on YouTube. If you could find it, if you look, it's like a leaked like seminar of a mobile app developers. And they're basically talking about like whale hunting, like finding that one like oil kid out in the Middle East who's got, you know, infinite money and spends $100,000 a month in, you know, microtransactions. Like, this is a real part of the model. And that's essentially what NetEase wanted to do with Diablo Immortal, but now they've run into a little bit of an issue. Diablo Immortal released in China reportedly banned after the Blizzard Weeaboo account insults Xi Jinping. While Diablo Immortal released on June 2nd in the United States, it still hasn't come out in China. Now, based on a Weeaboo post from the game's official account, it could be quite a while before it does. According to translations of the post, the official Diablo Immortal Weeaboo account apparently insulted Xi Jinping, the leader of China, in a mix-up of epic proportions. So you hear Diablo Immortal Weeaboo account mocks Xi Jinping. The post reads, why isn't Winnie the Bear... Really, I don't know if Winnie's added. Why isn't the bear out of office yet? And makes reference to Winnie the Pooh, which Xi has been compared to in the past. The Chinese leader isn't fond of these comparisons, which has caused for various games and media being banned in the past. On the game's official subreddit, a post reported the ban included an excerpt from Chinese Diablo fan who provided more context. Quote, a guy who works in Diablo Immortal's marketing team, which has access to the official social media account, did something very, quote, sensitive, they explained. Now we don't know, did he forget to switch the account or did he use Diablo Immortal's official account intentionally? But the result is that Diablo Immortal official account to post a thread which complains, when would the bear fall off the seat? The post itself only got attention when it started going viral in Weibo, which has reportedly resulted in harsh penalties for NetEase, which is Blizzard's distribution partner in China. Quote, that's why DI marketing was completely shut down in China, and NetEase itself was heavily affected too. They continued, rumor says NetEase will not get any license for a game to publish the following 3 years. We don't know whether that's true or not. Immortal's release being delayed in China has been known, but before Blizzard said it was, quote, to implement quality of life changes and, quote, optimize the game. Now, there's been no official confirmation, but many websites are, in fact, reporting on this. But now, a new change in Diablo Immortal has things getting absolutely nutters. I think if we look at... if we look at Metacritic, while I'm looking that up, by the way, if you're looking for a new gaming computer, use Meta PCs. I think you'll really like it. Code the quartering, you'll save 5%. A veteran-run company, it's the only computer I use. So the user score now for Diablo Immortal remains a 0.4. on Metacritic. If we look at the PC version, why didn't I do that? Which is technically a beta, right? And it's the only way I play it. Simply because, I don't do mobile phones. I guess I'm just too old. I can't play games on my phone. I don't think I ever really, like, outside of, I play a little Raid, little Mech Arena here and there. But the games with like where I have to click around like that aren't like inherently designed that way are tough for me, and I'm just so used to mouse for these type of games, I should say. And Diablo Immortal, it's not even loading. Awesome. So nonetheless, discovery of a new mechanic may mean getting fully geared in Diablo Immortal will cost $540,000. $540,000. When it comes to Diablo Immortal, the game has been making millions while criticisms over its monetization continue. Previously, some estimated that in order to fully max out a character, you'd have to spend over $110,000. Yet the discovery of a mechanic, a new estimate, is pushing that up over $540,000. An analysis shared over Reddit points to the discovery of a hidden mechanic that opens up more, quote, opportunity to buy additional gems and continue spending in order to push your character to fully geared out glory, quote. But apparently there's a whale mechanic. When you upgrade a 5 out of 5 star gem to level 10, that's attached to a piece of gear rank above rank 6, that's that 5 out of 5 star gem will undergo a process called an awakening. When a 5 out of 5 star gem awakens, it gains an additional 5 slots around it, which allows an additional 5 legendary gems to be slotted into it, which the game gems have to be individually upgraded to rank 10. This means that instead of the comparatively cheap $100,000 and needing 6 level 5 star gems to max your character, you'll need 36 of them. Along the way, there's also cash shop items you have to buy. To awaken a gem, you'll need to purchase an item that's only available in the cash shop for purple orbs, called Dawning Echoes, which costs you around 1,000 Eternal Orbs, roughly around $30 per gear awakening. The $540,000 estimate is based on being somewhat lucky, getting the gems you need quickly. But if that doesn't happen, it could creep up more quickly. Blizzard, when asked about what's next for Diablo Immortal, responded that they'll have more in the coming weeks. The rep emphasized that the core features of the game will stay free, but in our review, Robin noted that you generally have to pay to do something as basic as form a clan. Now, this article via Kraptaku, Diablo Immortal could run your wallet way more than you thought. They're also covering this. You see, $15,000 later, a Diablo Immortal player finally has his legendary gem. He spent $15,000. I don't know if this is actually real. Who has this amount of money? And then, of course, Asmongold replies, only five more to go. And he ended up deleting the character and uninstalling the game.
Fucking Blizzard.
He deleted the character after spending the money.
Fuck this dog shit game.
He spent... That's actually insane. Ends up deleting that character after spending all that money. Kotaku AU wrote, reporting on this quote achievement, Quinn has certainly drawn a share of criticism through the experiment. His reckless spending and bursts of white-hot anger after failed drops caused many to wonder about his emotional stability. Others, even in our comments, were unhappy to see him give Blizzard exactly what it wanted, his money. In the end, though, he proved his point. Chasing a five-star legendary gem is a fool's errand. A system designed to clear out bank accounts while giving very little back to the player. Anyway, thanks for your service, Quinn. Now you can stop playing Diablo Immortal for good. I mean, he proved his point, all right, but at what cost? And, you know, this idea, according to Twitter user Space Drake, Dice, a founder of the indie Japanese game localization studio, Carpe Fulgur, awakening your legendary five-star jewel unlocks, with some more information, five additional slots, which can also be upgraded. You need a material called Dawning Echo to talk to Vic, the master jeweler in Westmarch, before you can awaken your gems. But once you've completed all the prerequisites, you can then drain your wallet to hopefully make your character OP. That's actually insane to me. That this amount of money, $540,000. Like, what's crazy about this is the reason they design it this way is for the two people in the world that will do it. That's where they make their money on, like, everyone else and whatnot. But, like, there's two or three people in this world that will do it because they have more money than we'll ever know or ever really understand. The idea that you would spend $500,000, which would buy you a beautiful home anywhere in the Midwest, with property, you pour it into a mobile app. I mean, look, I don't judge people that harshly for spending money in mobile apps. I really don't, because everyone's got their thing that they like, they want to spend money on. I don't care if you spent $500 in this app, just as long as there is some reasonable way for people who don't have that money to spend a reasonable amount of money. You know, the game is free to play, sure. But like, if you told me it would be $50, $60, even $100 to fully max out, I would be fine with that. But the idea that you have it set up to take $500,000 off players is actually disgusting.
And last up today, somebody is impersonating Jeremy.
Look, I know I shaved the beard, and I guess what I didn't anticipate was leaving an opening for an imposter to not only take my place on YouTube, but to suddenly take over for my company. It's shocking. The fact that so many people are fooled by this is extremely frustrating. But I want to like take a little look at it and then also discuss some other really important stuff. Life-changing, super-duper important stuff. But this guy, again, the Ancient Order of Men, continues to impersonate me. This uploaded Sunday. Absolutely insane. Got my overlay, the updated overlay now. He's got, you know, since I shaved my beard, now, although his beard is looking a little unkempt.
Coffee brand coffee. Coffee, cheese, and t-shirts, and more. Appreciate y'all.
How could anybody be fooled by this? I don't constantly wear plaid shirts and look all over the room when I'm looking at other monitors while I'm talking.
Handbone's been working around the clock, trying to keep all this going. Basically, I make videos all day, and I grind and roast coffee all night. Luckily, my life-crippling addiction to work has kept me going this far.
How would he know that? This man must be stopped. By the way, John Paul, I'm watching you. And then he does what, you know, I'm not going to rob, you know, I don't even know how much of this I'm going to be able to play, to be honest with you. But apparently, he runs out of coffee and then wakes up in some sort of fever dream at a coffee plant. And he sings the whole song. He's got a dancing coffee bean. He's got Bert Scamp here coming in, singing, dropping the guitar lead. He's got Grandpa, old man Jeremy here. He's got the whole thing. And then I was watching this and I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Like, he's got some nice little work done. But this mad lad actually went on and rewrote all the lyrics.
That's the way we do it. We're making money on the coffee beans, but it ain't easy. That's the way we do it. Fresh roast to order, quick delivery.
I feel like I should give this guy Coffee Brand Coffee sponsorship, don't you think? I really think, and like, I'm not gonna like, you know, play the whole thing, but you should watch the whole thing on his channel. It's just unbelievable. I can understand now after seeing this why people, like, you know, maybe get confused and think this is actually me. But all jokes aside, I'll leave a link to this actual video if you want to watch it, and feel free to send some positivity his way. It's all in good fun. Really, really, I'm always flattered by his videos. And this one was hilarious, and I'm sure it took a lot of work. I mean, he like wrote a song. You know what I mean? Like, he rewrote all the lyrics for that song or parody song. He unironically made an awesome commercial for Coffee Brand Coffee. So I'll send him some coffee and tea, maybe some cold hard cash. I'm sure he would appreciate that. His channel looks like it's been growing. You know, he's got his thumbnail game down. Let's see that. But yeah, people really seem to like him. And yeah. Also, there's been a slew of Coffee Brand Coffee reviews hitting YouTube. I really, really, really appreciate people doing this. And when I see them, I will tweet them out. I will mention them in the videos. I mean, it's awesome. We have this beautiful woman who had some coffee.
Absolutely superb.
Listen to this.
I enjoyed it very much.
You heard it here.
And it is cups of your value here. That I have just tried two cups of your coffee, and it is absolutely superb.
I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful lady. You got sci-fi for me doing a live tasting.
You think that it might be worth having a poster that's...
Can you see, like, let's see here.
It doesn't look too thick. It doesn't look too strong.
And when he says sugar, he's very, very liberal with it.
I need a drum roll. I don't have a drum roll. All right, drum roll.
Look at this. These are people that just did this for fun, which is awesome.
That's actually not too bad. It's not too strong. It's not bitter.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's delicious.
That's one of the things that if you brew coffee too strong.
You have that. He likes it. He drinks it. Black, here's Seymour as doing a review.
It says that it has cupping notes of milk chocolate, citrus, and plum. And I thought that was such a weird try combination that I just absolutely had to try it. So I open up the bag this morning and I take a nice whiff.
Mm.
Because truthfully, I enjoy smelling coffee just as much as I enjoy drinking it.
Yeah.
And wow, did it have a bold yet pleasant scent to it. I was blown away. I got whole beans. They do offer grind, but I prefer a fresh grind.
Dude, this guy's mic game is really good too.
And then I came back to watch a YouTube video while I let it brew. Halfway through the YouTube video, I came down to check on the coffee to see if it was done, and it was. And my kitchen smelled absolutely phenomenal. At this point, ladies and gentlemen, I just knew. So without further hesitation, I grabbed my favorite coffee mug, because this is a special occasion. And I filled it up and I ran back upstairs. Not literally ran back upstairs because I would have spilled the coffee, but I walked back upstairs as quickly as I could to get back to watching my YouTube video and try this coffee.
Yep, there
and
it is.
The first sip was unbelievable.
Boom.
So unbelievable, as a matter of fact, that I immediately had to take a second sip because I wanted to make sure that I was really experiencing what I was actually just experiencing, because this coffee absolutely just blew my expectations way clear out of the water. Like, I knew this was going to be good, but ladies and gentlemen, I did not expect this to be one of, if not the best cup of coffee that I have ever had.
Boom. Well, what can I say? You got a political view.
And so it was like,
talks about it.
It's glued in the center. And, you know, you're citrus, plum, milk, chocolate notes to it. But it's really good.
Boom. Really good. And you might be thinking, where are the tea reviews? How about this one? Maria White. Put my tea up against, an Earl Grey and a lavender Earl Grey. Let's see what she has to say.
Alrighty. I don't mind the noise. It's the air conditioner. It has the quartering for his focus.
There's my tea. Yeah.
The loose leaf lavender Earl Grey and the Earl Grey black tea.
Okay.
And one promising thing. You see this nice foam?
Yep. Fresh, organic,
that's
loose leaf tea.
Good.
It is pretty good.
This loose leaf.
We'll go to the tasting.
And you taste more of the lavender than you do the bergamot. So. And I really do like the taste of bergamot.
Here's mine.
FYI.
Let's see what she has to say.
There we go.
By the way, you know, just wholesome.
Now this.
Wait for
has
it.
Has a lot more of the black tea taste than this. So this, even though these are around the exact same. You know, steepage, roughly. You know, 8 ounces to this.
By the way, sweet Hoover Dam mug.
This is a lot stronger than both this and this.
There you have it, folks.
Which you can't really tell the color. And this
has
a lot more of the floral note of the bergamot than this than this, because bergamot has a floral orangey flavor. Like does. Smelling like coffee brand coffee tea is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Compared to these two private selection teas. So, it gets a A+ for me.
Boom, A+. We just need some cocos, more tea reviews, more coffee reviews. By the way, fulfillment is all caught up. So orders are shipping basically next day now. By this afternoon, they'll be 100% caught up. We are working on getting more cold brew. I think we should have it in just a few minutes. By the time this video is live, the cold brew should be back up. We are light on tumblers. We've already placed an order for those. We should have those back. But we have all of our coffees, all of our teas, all of our hot cocos ready to go. Give us a try. I would just greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you have, you know, purchased like our Earl Grey or whatever, please come and leave a review, a picture review. You can see here's 10 people have already left reviews. Unsurprisingly, all 5 stars. I'm telling you, our stuff is great. Obviously, I'm trying to shake that stigma of like, oh, it's just a YouTuber coffee rant. No. Like, we're not screwing around. This is good stuff. If you've got it, please come leave a review. If you haven't yet, please give it a try. I'll use, if you use promo code TheQuartering, you'll save 5% on a one-time purchase. Or if you don't need any promo code at all, and if you do the subscribe and save, you get 10% off. So they'll send you a new bag every month. That's for our coffees, teas, or cocos, whatever you want. So greatly, greatly appreciate everyone doing the reviews. I look forward to continuing to watch them, keep uploading them, and I'll keep sharing them and highlighting them. Thanks.